Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us. And through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace be with you. Good morning to everyone, for those who are here in the cathedral and those who are watching on television, streaming, or listening in other ways. We greet you on this great feast of Christ the King, the conclusion of our liturgical year, and also the conclusion of the year of mercy. We begin this morning, as always, calling to mind that part of us which is still human and sinful. And so we acknowledge our sins and ask God's mercy and pardon as we enter into these sacred mysteries. Lord Jesus, you are mighty God and Prince of Peace. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you are Son of God and Son of Mary. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you are Word made flesh and splendor of the Father. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, whose will it is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of the universe, grant, we pray, that the whole creation set free from slavery may render your majesty service and ceaselessly proclaim your praise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
A reading from the second book of Samuel. In those days, all the tribes of Israel came to David in Hebron and said, "Here we are, your bone and your flesh. In days past, when Saul was our king, it was you who led the Israelites out and brought them back. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel, and shall be commander of Israel. when all the elders of Israel came to David in Hebron, King David made an agreement with them there before the Lord, and they anointed him King of Israel. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, let us give thanks to the Father, who has made you fit to share in the inheritance of the holy ones in light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible. Whether the thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross. Through him whether those on earth or those in heaven. The word of the Lord.
From the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God, for you are subject to the same condemnation? And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes, but this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
throughout this past year, as we have examined and experienced God's mercy in so many ways, and we have also tried to practice mercy through the corporal and spiritual works of mercy in our families, in our community, and in so many other ways, we have come into touch, hopefully better, with the reality of mercy. And one phrase that our Holy Father used at the beginning of the year that has really guided us, at least myself, and I'm sure many of you, was his declaration that Jesus Christ is the face of God's mercy. Using that lens to read the Gospels, we can see that as Jesus was born in humble beginnings in Bethlehem, that was God's mercy. He is God's mercy coming to us in the most attainable ways, in simple ways. As Jesus attended the wedding feast of Cana and assisted the young couple and their guests with turning water into wine, again, God's mercy through him was present. As he reached down to the woman caught in adultery, as he sat and talked with the Samaritan woman, as he went to the table of Matthew, the tax collector, Zacchaeus, and so many others, and was present to them, he was God's mercy in their life. He encountered them where they were. As he went through the passion, death, and resurrection, again, for our sake, for our redemption, he is the face of God's mercy. God is not far from us. If he is, we create the distance. We create the gap between God present in our lives and the absence of God. Jesus Christ, our King, is the face of God's mercy. Today we celebrate his feast. It is a recent feast. It came to light within the church in 1925 by Pope Pius XI, declaring this last Sunday to be the feast of Christ the King. And these feasts are always contextualized. What was going on in 1925? We had the end of World War I very soon in that time. We also had the rise of communism and other ideologies, each one of them saying to God our Father, we don't need you. We don't need you. We will figure it out ourselves. We will create the perfect kingdom on earth to solve the world's problems and everyone else's. You go to the churches and stay there. You get out of our personal lives, and we'll call you if and when we need you. And so we saw the rise of secularism and individualism. We will do it ourselves. Everyone cannot see beyond themselves. It's all about me. And that plays out in every aspect of our lives, sisters and brothers. And I would ask ourselves, do we live in a different world than that today? Are we still living in a secularized society that simply says we will create the best system of government to solve all problems? Are we not still living in a world of individualism? I can't see beyond my own needs. God bless you if you need help, but go take care of yourself. Is that not the world we live in? Again, confronting God's mercy, confronting Jesus Christ, saying, we just don't need you. We can't feel you. You're not present. We can't see beyond this world. We don't have words in our vocabulary such as forever and ever. We've forgotten the word eternity. We have forgotten the meaning of eternal life with God face to face. Those words, those concepts do not fit into a world of individualism and secularism, because it's all here and now. There's nothing left as we pass from this world. This is the work of evil. This is the work of Satan. The work of evil are basically two: to divide people in whatever way possible, and to confuse people's lives. To confuse them in their values, to confuse them in their relationships, to confuse them in front of their God. Confusion and division is the work of evil. That's the kingdom of darkness. That is the kingdom that belongs to this world without God. We cannot understand the kingdom of God. We cannot understand Jesus as the face of God's mercy simply by these human terms of what we would understand, or the world would understand, a king to be. To understand the kingdom of God, to understand what the kingdom of light is, to dispel the darkness, we have to understand and delve into the Gospels, the face of God's mercy in Jesus Christ. With our human mentality, a king would be one who seeks power and wealth, who is all about himself in the bad sense. There have been some saintly kings and queens throughout our world. We just celebrated one this past week in St. Elizabeth of Hungary, who abandoned her wealth as queen of Hungary and followed the king, Jesus, and looked after the poor. But to understand Jesus, we have to observe his life. To understand his kingship, we have to understand how he was born, how he related to people, and all that he did for us. Born into poverty, reaching out to the lonely, forgotten, and the sinful, dialoguing with people who thought differently than he did, washing people's feet in service, and eating meals with sinners. That is the kingdom of God. That is the true kingdom, which its fruitfulness is peace and unity. The kingdom of darkness creates division and confusion. This kingdom that Jesus came to bring us as the face of God's mercy results in peace and harmony. And you and I, sisters and brothers, are the ones who are called through our baptism, who are called as we come here each Sunday to receive his body and blood, to participate in that kingdom first, to be good citizens of this world and this country, but to be his first. And do we not have the best example of that in St. Thomas More, who again was put in a position of choosing one kingdom over the other? The kingdom of service to his earthly king, which would mean he would have to abandon his faith, or the kingdom of Christ. And Thomas More, as you probably remember, said so beautifully, "I am the king's loyal servant, but God's first." That is our way of life. If there's going to be any change in the world, it depends on that. Either we believe and embrace Jesus Christ as our king, as our God, as the face of mercy. We either do that or we abandon that and follow the path of the here and now, of the confusion and the division. How do we relate to Jesus? It is very simple today if we look at the gospel. Immediately we would look at the crucifixion of Jesus as it is given in account from St. Luke. But I would ask us to look beyond just Jesus on the cross and look at who was there. Who was standing in front of the throne of grace, which is what the cross is? Who was there? There were crowds there of observers, people who were looking on, who really didn't make too many gestures, but were probably questioning, who is this? So many of us today, even men and women of faith, young people, are in that group of crowd, the crowd, simply looking on, staying hidden. There are others in the second group of people who were tempting Jesus, the leaders, who yelled out at him, "Save yourself if you are a king." Again, the concept of king serving himself. Jesus came to serve us, came to serve every man and woman. And so the temptation that was given to him, even on the cross, was, if you are a king, save yourself. And even the one thief next to him said, save us and yourself. This is our temptation too. Are we here to save ourselves? Are we here to serve ourselves? To get as much as we can in this world so that when we die, we abandon it? That's the second group. The observers first, who were just there, no action. And the second group, those who tempt Jesus and tempted themselves, save yourself. But the third category of person who was there was the simple sinner, the thief, who looked at Jesus and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Sisters and brothers, in the world that we live in today, there is so much fear. There's so much distress. There's so much unknown. We do not need to be agents of confusion and disharmony in our society. We need to be agents of unity and peace. We need to be the ones, whether it's in our family, in a local way, or in a broader spectrum, who can bring a different tone to our society, who can bring the life of mercy to others in simple ways. I ask all of us as disciples of Jesus Christ to take this seriously, not to continue to aggravate the society that we live in by taking sides, but to be agents of peace, to be agents of unity. That has to burn in our hearts. And it comes from a simple act of faith, such as the thief on the cross, who in his simple faith turned to Jesus and said, remember me. In that act of faith, he embraced the king. He embraced the future. He became an agent of a new life. That's our role in the world that we live in today, to assist the kingdom of God to advance further, to advance with mercy, to advance with love. Love is not a weak word. Mercy is not a weak concept. It is so powerful when lived. It is so rich when experienced and given that it touches people's lives. If we look again at Jesus in the many scenes of the gospel, Did he not change the life of the woman caught in adultery simply by saying, they didn't condemn you, neither do I, but sin no more? Did he not change the life of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector in Jericho, by simply saying, I want to come sit at your table and eat with you? Did not the tax collector Matthew and his other fellow tax collectors at the table have a little better sense of what society could be with love and with mercy? Jesus touched the world that surrounded him in his day. And with millions of Catholics, millions and billions of Christians around the world, this is our task today. To not sit back in the crowd anonymously and join in, to not sit there and taunt others in their faith and say, save yourself, but to be simply like the sinner on the cross, embracing the King and saying, I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want to be a part of this world of peace. I want to participate in bringing harmony in our world, even if it's a small portion. Today, I ask us together to not just celebrate today as the people in the crowds at the back where the cross was, but people who say, I want to have faith in you. Help my little faith become bigger. Help my small acts of mercy to become more merciful. And above all, Lord Jesus, as you hung on the cross and died for us, you expressed the greatest love. May we embrace a life of love because we embrace Christ the King. And now let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our merciful God has delivered us from the power of darkness. Let us participate in light, and let us offer these prayers for ourselves and for our world.
That the Holy Church of God, with Christ the King as our head, continue to proclaim God's mercy to all the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That leaders of every nation govern with compassion and integrity and forsake violence and war for the good of the whole world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That all who exercise pastoral ministry in the church be renewed and strengthened in their work, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That all who meet us know God's mercy in our actions toward them every day, even after the conclusion of the Jubilee Year of Mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the safety of those who serve in our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Alicia Marroquin, Yolanda Salazar Robinson, Beatrice F. Castillo, Catherine Green Dunn, Maria Cifuentes, and Jose Maria Garcia, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Now, my dear friends, for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these personal needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
God of mercy, we ask you to hear these prayers that we offer to you in the name of Christ our King, for he is Lord forever and ever.
Jesus Christ, our Sovereign King.
Thank you.
Pray, sisters and brothers, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. As we offer you, O Lord, the sacrifice by which the human race is reconciled to you, we humbly pray that your Son himself may bestow on all nations the gift of unity and peace through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you anointed your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, with the oil of gladness, as eternal priest and King of all creation, so that by offering himself on the altar of the cross as a spotless sacrifice to bring us peace, he might accomplish the mysteries of human redemption and offer all created things subject to his rule. He might present to the immensity of your majesty an eternal and universal kingdom, a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory, as without end we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, and all the clergy.
Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us all... Father Han Fang, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral, on behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.